We join the Super Legit crew before the show as Hyman gets a little too comfortable and Josh Spence drops a show and tell link in the show notes.
Hyman, you might not want to make that gesture you were just making while you were stirring whatever you were stirring, because it looked untoward.
My glasses will be so clean.
Yeah, I don't.
Cannot see.
I do not like that. I don't like that one bit.
Never would have guessed it was glasses.
This is what happens when you get glasses from Warby Parker.
Unlikely choice.
Josh, what's up?
I think I only shared it with Steven and Jet, but
yeah.
Look what is coming to my house in like a couple of weeks.
Guitar.
Click link. On the link.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Ooh. Ooh. Click the link. Oh
nice. Oh my god.
It's very nice. Oh
wow.
Yeah. I've been waiting 17 years for this bad boy.
I suddenly feel the need to clean my glasses.
But only do it in your crotch area. Right. Yeah.
It's the Super Legit Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Jet Kaufman, and gosh, I am surrounded with some of my best friends in the world. This is nearly everybody, which is just ridiculous to have this many amazing faces on my screen. You can't see them, but you're going to hear them. Let's run through it. We've got Josh Spence.
Oh, hi.
Jen Burton.
Hello.
Chris Compton.
You are hearing my face.
Sean Michael Boozer.
I am here.
Alex Rose Wiesel.
Hi, and it's hyphenated. It's brown, too.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yeah.
I should have put it back in there. I didn't put it in there. I threw you off. My fault.
Yes.
My bad.
No, that's fine. I have to update all my notes everywhere. Oh. Oh. Stephen C. James.
Hey, I'm brown, too.
Not hyphenated.
Not hyphenated.
No, not hyphenated.
Chris Sanders.
I kind of don't want to find out what brown can do for me.
Let's listen to the rest of the podcast and find out. And my co-host, Michael Hyman.
Hello. Hi, Jet.
Hello. It's so good to see you.
It's good to
all
see
of you.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I thought I was getting a special good to see you, but
you
then,
know. No, you're right.
You really
you're
had right. to follow it up so quickly with, yeah, I want to make sure everyone also knows that this is less important for Hyman. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Jet, all greetings matter, Kaufman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really well, letting you know that you're the co-host, not his bro-host.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's get to what I really love about you, Michael Hyman, reading the question to our cast.
The thing you sent me before we recorded. Of
yep,
course.
That's right.
Well, Jet.
That's what we pay you for. Mm-hmm.
I'm getting paid?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But yes, everyone, Jet and everyone. Today's question comes from listener Aquo Calrissian, and it is, who's someone who had a huge influence on you who will never know it? Almost ominous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This kind of begs like in there's like an obvious answer to this, right? Because like,
let's hear it. I want to know what your obvious answer is.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
There's actors that are like, I will never meet.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
who,
yes.
Who are your touchstones?
That is definitely one way to take this question. Absolutely. Yeah.
If this turns out to be John Wilkes Booth, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I actually wait before it, depending on how the election goes.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, do you have one, Josh?
I'm going to wait and see what everybody else has to say.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
I have one. I'll go first because mine is a famous person as well. I feel like most of my huge influences are, they know that they're my influences, like the people that I actually know. But this is kind of embarrassing, but I'll say it anyway. So when I was a very little girl, I had one of those suitcase record players.
Yeah.
And I only had two albums, and one of them, and who bought these for me, I don't know, but there was probably some cool parenting going on. One was the Muppets movie soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
two thumbs up, but the other one was Barry Manilow Live,
ooh,
which yeah. is, and I mean, and I, you know, I was really little.
Mm-hmm.
I had this thing. I was 5 years old-ish, and I would listen to Barry Manilow Live, both sides, while lying next to the suitcase. And I had this very particular, there's a song in that album called Riders to the Stars, which nobody's ever heard of. It's completely cheesy. It's the most 70s thing you'll ever hear in the history of the world. And I had this very elaborate fantasy of this, of Barry Manilow, like me sitting on a fence on a carnival, and like that Barry Manilow would come up to me. I would listen to the song, and there was this whole like music video going on in my head of him coming up to the fence, and he's pulling me off, and we're walking through the carnival, nothing sexual. I'm five. Yeah. And we're walking like, through, and then we get onto this, you know, what is it called?
Ferris wheel.
Yes, thank you. I'll just do this motion.
For the listeners at home, yes.
We get onto the Ferris wheel. He's singing to me only. And then right at the pinnacle of this song, which goes, Riders to the Stars, we are flying. And then the car would blast off into space. Wow. And then I had this whole fantasy about Barry Manilow, like, coming and making my life really good. And
again, in a non-sexual way, right?
In a very non-sexual way. Right. Also, you know,
good news about Barry Manilow. Very gay. So
he's a safe man to have a fantasy about when you're that age. But he that album sort of, those were like difficult years. My parents got divorced. I was like going around from place to place. And so just having this like person in even in my mind who would come and like save me was so it, like, I still, when I hear that song, which I'm the only person in the history of the world who has that song and listens to it still, it helps me. It's like very inspiring.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Had you seen Willy Wonka at this point? Because it sounds very Wonka Vader. Or had you seen like
Repo Man?
Where like the no.
We didn't have a television.
Not a lot of 5-year-olds watching Repo Man.
I was gonna say there was. I like that her three albums were the Muppet Movie soundtrack, Barry Manilow, and then the Repo Man soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got like pretty deep into Circle Jerks for a 5-year-old in a non-sexual way.
Sex Pistols, and then anyway. So Barry Manilow is my influence.
Well, and I will say, I can feel you like hedging, like it, like I don't want anybody to think that I'm into Barry Manilow. I have friends who are fanalos who like go to all the concerts and check out the stuff. So there's no, I don't think there's a secret shame in music anymore. I think you should be proud that Barry Manilow had this influence on you.
I do love though that Stephen, you're like your reassurance is not me, but I know people who like Barry Manilow.
Because personally no, it's these people that I know are professional musicians who know good music. It does not appeal to me, but they are way smarter than I am, much like Jen Burton. So I will defer.
Go that far. He's a great songwriter.
I did think your point was that we live in the age of the internet. There's no such thing as secret shame.
That's right.
All shame is completely public.
And I'm letting the world know now. Also, I did go to a concert within the last 5 years. A friend invited me to a Barry Manilow concert, and I was like, of course I must go. And I'm not kidding. I wept like a baby the entire show. Mm-hmm. It's a very much a touchstone from like my very, very small childhood self. Super!
Ooh, hey, kid. It's me, your imaginary friend, Pete Pickles.
Hey, Pete. You know I'm 37 now, right?
Yeah, it's just that, you know, I've just been wondering if we could hang out. I also wanted to just cover some bases. Pickle Pete's been watching a lot of the news, and I just want you to know that all that time we were hanging out, it was very much in a non-sexual fashion. I was just trying to get you through a tough time. I'd hate for anybody to think that Pickle Pete was any sort of weird, creepy groomer.
Well, listen, Double P, it would have been nice if you had come a little earlier. I mean, now that I'm in...
Hey, babe.
Yes?
Who are you talking to?
Myself, my inner child, I'm
you
praying.
You don't have to be ashamed about me. I'd love to meet your wife again. Just covering my bases here that everything turned out perfectly normal.
Hun, I'm gonna come clean. I'm talking to my imaginary childhood friend, Pickle Pete.
Pickle Pete?
Pickle Pete, yes. And that's actually his first name is Pickle Pete. I know it's a double thing, but it's still that.
I don't know if you can see me, but I'm standing over here by the mirror. Can you hear my voice at all?
Yes, I can hear your voice, Pickle Pete. Why would I not be able to hear your voice? Oh, were you talking to my wife?
I was speaking to your lovely wife.
Oh, no, I can see Pickle Pete. It's not you what can? I expected.
Yeah, he's a lot taller than you think, right?
Babe, you described him as safe, and he doesn't look safe.
What?
He looks really frightening.
Well, I can also hear you. Put that out there. Just put that out there.
Okay. Well, to be honest, Pickle Pete, I have a bone to pick with you because we're going through therapy and
every couple struggles.
Well, not every couple struggles because the husband was touched by an imaginary friend.
Whoa! 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 I assume we mean emotionally because I never laid a hand on him. I taught him how to care about others and to show empathy to people in difficult circumstances. I kept these pickle palms to myself.
Is that how you sleep at night? Is that how you convinced yourself that things went down?
Whoa, whoa, whoa! I'm not sure what's going on here, but Pickle Pete would not have shown up if he had known that things had been misconstrued to this high degree.
You know, just the smell of brine is so triggering for me now.
Oh, hon.
Holy shit, y'all! Pickle Pete may have overstepped some bounds in this conversation, but never prior in the past. Maybe I shouldn't have shown up here.
maybe you should go to therapy with us. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe you, as the root of this problem, as the source of everything that's gone horribly wrong in my life, should be there.
No, triples therapy is something that I've worked on in the past, so I'm happy to have you all sit down.
Wow, thank you. Hard to find thank someone.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Sit down and should I refer you to you as imaginary friend and concrete friend? I want to be sort of equal in the.
You should just call. You could call him the bastard.
Whoa! Let's try using some I statements here. I call
him the bastard.
Okay. There we go. We're now letting listen. That out.
I would like to say I volunteered to be here. I could have easily just sat here incorporeal and made this person think that you were both insane. So I just want to put my best of my 8 feet forward.
He does have a point.
The most striking thing about this, doctor, are you a doctor or just a therapist?
I'm just a therapist?
Again! I'm check out very the dismissive. Tone on this guy!
That's extremely dismissive. What was your name for him again?
I just want to be respectful, sir.
We're too late for that, but let's go on. your point was?
I've now forgotten my point because I've been so ashamed by my tone that I feel I owe you an apology. So let me start with that. How should I address you?
I just as Mr. Doctor Therapist.
Mr. Doctor Therapist. Here's the thing.
Please, my father's name was Mr. Doctor Therapist. Just call me Doctor Therapist.
This is the most passive aggressive interaction I've had in a long time, and I'm an imaginary friend to children.
See, there's the core of it. Like an imaginary friend of my child, but everybody else can see him, and I'm now an adult. It's so mind-blowing. My entire idea of what's real and what is not real, the fact that you can see him, that my wife can see him, that they can hear him.
You know, I do notice that I can see an impression on the couch where you're sitting. For an imaginary friend, can I ask you, does he look older now than he did when you were a child? Like, as he's, like, maybe he's aged perhaps at the same rate?
Is everyone here a dick? Yes! I've aged! I've also put on weight! For fuck's sake! Can we just get to the root of the problem?
He's pickled.
I guess my point is, are we quite sure he is imaginary? Or is this just a person who would continually climb into your room at night and have conversations with you as a child?
Good point.
This makes a lot more sense now, Doctor.
I can't believe we're doing this.
Please, Mr. Doctor Therapist was my father's name. Call me Doctor Therapist.
Doctor Therapist.
Yeah, thank you.
Do I need to talk about how imaginary friending works? Is that what needs to happen here?
I think we need a baseline for how this works, because the fact that if he's imaginary and everybody else can see.
Listen, okay, I am incorporeal and inside of your imagination. Imaginary friends show up when young children are going through difficult times, right? You get your drop-dead friends. Time. You get your Ted the Talking Bears, your Barry Manilows, your what-have-yous, right? We appear to children to help them through tough times. But all adults are going through tough times, so I can show up to any adult.
Why couldn't you be Barry Manilow?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the support group for imaginary friends in modern times. As everybody here knows, this is a difficult time for imaginary friends since everybody's kind of a dick now. So I'd just like to go around the room and hear everybody's experiences being an imaginary friend in 2024, arguably the worst time in history for modern man.
Hi, I'm Frankie Fox. It's been
hi,
a rough.
Frankie.
Oh, hi, Frankie.
I love that part.
Hey, Frankie.
I should have waited for it, because that's always the part I relish the most, just being acknowledged at all in any way, shape, or form anymore.
We can't see you, but we like you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I just feel like nobody has any imagination anymore. Nobody has any sense of joy or love or anything. And at this point, I feel like I'm just a manifestation of hate more than anything else. Does anybody else feel that way?
I know I do.
Yeah, that hits close to home.
Does everybody know Mr. Pickle?
Hey, everybody.
He's new to the group. He went through some trauma with the.
Yeah.
Why can we see him?
That is
seems a little bit weird to me.
You should be invisible. Are you sure you're not a human man?
I didn't know that this was like an AA meeting, so I can make myself invisible if you guys don't want to know anything about me. But I'm kind of living in my truth right now.
And there's like Brian dripping off of you onto the ground. What is this?
I'm Pickle Pete. There was a young boy, his parents were splitting up, his favorite food was pickles, so
we all know the story of how we come into existence.
Yeah, well...
You seem to know it a little too well, honestly.
I mean, is it just me, or is the whole world super fucking passive-aggressive? Say it with your whole chest, Freddy Fox!
Oh, I will. Not that you can see my chest, because I am a proper imaginary friend. But it is puffed out real big right now.
I'm not imaginary enough for you! I'm not imaginary enough for you, is that it?
No, Pete, you're actually really visual, and you look really phallic.
Yep. They're pickles, people! Sometimes a pickle's just a pickle. I question your thoughts, okay? I question you. And also, glass houses, Penelope Peach. Glass houses!
Well, you know.
I'm just saying, like, unlike many imaginary friends, every time you say the plosive letters in your name, what feels like real spit is landing on my face.
Yeah.
It's very salty.
If I had a regular human face, I would feel it. It just goes through the my invisibleness.
Yeah,
but
like it should
tell.
Because we're imaginary.
Exactly.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have walked into the wrong support group meeting. I thought this was a support group meeting for imaginary friends, not actual assholes. So, fuck you. Fuck you.
No,
fuck
actual
you.
Asshole is over Pickle there in the corner.
Out.
Hey, actual asshole.
Hey, fuck you.
Oh, wow.
At least this guy is real. You and me, after this, let's get a drink.
I am actually incorporeal. I can't get a drink. I can just be real with you, you fucking prick.
Hey, I'll take it. It's better than Mr. Ooh, I don't know about your level of imaginariness. You're one of the real ones, actual asshole.
I do know about your level of alleged molestation.
I really feel I've entered a hostile environment here.
I may be imaginary, but I am still a mandated reporter. I actually do have to report this.
Listen, Ringo Starr. All right, you can slip right back into the shadows where you belong. Okay? Everyone knows that drummer wasn't real.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, you can, Ringo. Yeah, he busted into a bunch of stars.
Well, this meeting has not gone the way that I have planned.
So I just say we adjourn. This is just a big old clusterfuck here.
Well, great, great. I guess I'll just go back out onto the street then with my dry brine trail flopping behind me and my bumpy pickles hitting everything over. Oh my God, it's the bumpy pickles, isn't it? Now I see it.
Yeah, that's a real first one.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, okay. And when it's like, hey, you'd like a pickle, why don't you have a pickle? Oh, yeah. My God, I see it now. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay, you wave them around in our faces, and it's
yeah,
it's
okay.
Rough. Yeah.
It looks really bad next to that asshole, too.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah, okay. All right. Oh, all right. I guess one of the things these groups do is sometimes you got to go make amends, right?
It's 12 step.
Time for me to go eat some shit. All right.
That's the 13th step.
Legit.
I swear to God, kind of Pickle podcast. Pete was very innocent.
Yeah,
he was so innocent. He meant nothing by it.
You can't bring innocence into this group and expect
in your eyes.
Yeah. That's good. That fits 2024. We're hit the right.
I mean, I can't believe that happened again after what happened in the last episode too.
Jeez. Let's not go back to that one.
Mr. Pickle, did you find that jarring? I should leave.
Quit gherking me around, SMB. Quit gherking me around.
Who else has an influence who will never know they influenced you?
You know what? I don't have a single influence, but anybody I've ever had what I perceive to be an awkward conversation, or if I ended it weird, or if I just said something, like, just know that I have thought about that moment every day since then, and they'll have no idea. Like they might not have noticed how weird I felt it was, but that's so. Everybody I've ever met is a huge influence on me. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Thank you, SMB, because I have little moments like that I feel like I can't get out of my head forever. I think maybe that should be a question on a future episode. What is the 2-second exchange you have with someone that you remember every day and feel shame about that they wouldn't recall if you like hooked them up to a car battery? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. What?
No.
Yeah.
I think we've actually done that one, which is an example of how you never remember the awkward shit other people did.
My brain is a topographic map of humiliation.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love to see that. There was I was an early 2000s, we're running out of cop shows, cop show that was called The Rememberer.
sounds like a parody.
And those are things, they just had a photographic memory.
We're running out of cop shows in the early 2000s, but now.
Yes.
We've started the cycle over. We're good.
Right.
Seven FBIs.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but I feel like they've at least tried to, a photographic memory on TV. Everyone has a photographic memory on TV because that's how memories are expressed.
Also, everyone's memory on television is just as good as the writers decided it was.
Yeah.
But I would love to see that as a cop superpower. Ooh. He has a perfect photographic memory for situations in which he was embarrassed. this is a show I would be a part of.
That sounds like some real copaganda there. That really sounds like them trying to win Chris Compton over to the side of the police. I think I might have an answer to it as well, because I was thinking, there's a woman, Karen Hyde Cook. She lives in Santa Fe. She was my high school English teacher all 4 years of high school. And now I'm a teacher for the past 25 years. But she knows about that because I show appreciation to people. And I thank her all the time. The guy who doesn't know is my sophomore history teacher, Coach W, who at some point we were talking about the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And he was talking about how at the beginning of the 20th century, most African Americans were Republican because of Lincoln, and that's the way it still was. And I was like, no, there was a big shift in the 60s, in the early 60s, and that became very different around the time of John F. Kennedy. And he basically, without saying it, but saying it, said, listen, you're a child. What do you know? All my history knowledge comes from this textbook that I'm holding in my hand right now. And the chapter that we're about to read, and that is it. Why would I ever listen to anything you have to say? He came back like 2 weeks later and was like, hey, so I guess Steven was right or whatever. And I was like, oh, I'm always going to apologize, but I'm also never going to shut a kid down in the moment. I'm going to admit when it's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm going to be willing to say I don't know.
Was his name, was his first name Coach Bill W? Because he went back and made him, he went back and made amends for what he did wrong.
This guy never solved anything. I was just thinking if I could make a whole podcast of just teachers who were also coaches' story in my experience being a student in Texas.
My senior econ and a government teacher was also the baseball coach. Like, is that just a thing everywhere?
Oh,
now, American history in my high school was also the football coach.
That's because people who do sports really know a lot of history.
So much. Right. So
that
much.
Is fact.
I think there's a book about the Alamo that I read last year. And in it, there's a joke where you go to somebody who's from Texas and you say to them, hey, I bet you $5 I can tell you the first name of your Texas history teacher. And then when they're like, there's no way you can do that, you go, coach.
It's even better when they're your like career guidance college counselors.
Oh,
you know? Because it's first day. So, Josh, what are you interested in? Oh, well, you know, I like chess. I like robotics. I like writing a lot. So, football. I will see you after. We'll get you seated. But I don't really play football. Great. It's at 3:30. Make sure you're there. I'm your O-line coach, Dan Harrington. I'm going to love you. Like, it's all right, cool. Cool.
Was that also just Josh's answer?
Sure.
I will say that was not a problem I ran into. The coaches that I ran into would either struggle to remember which epithets were still acceptable in the mid-90s or just treat me as if I didn't exist, which was mutual. And now I'm a parent and I have a child who is in a PE class who we get continual things about her not doing, you know, what she's supposed to be doing in PE classes.
Yep.
And I've tried to pretend to seem like I'm acting like I'm caring.
Yeah.
And it's really, really difficult.
I am right there right now. My son also is like, you know, he shows up to them and the notes are like, you know, not great. And I'm like, oh, I mean, physical fitness is important. And I sure wish I had been more physically fit when I was a kid. And I wish I had, you know, learned all these team sports, but I didn't, and I just don't care that much.
You know, you think you're not going to use it, but I use jumping jacks all the time. So every time I'm at the grocery store, I'm like, it's a good thing I was paying attention in PE.
And I do wind sprints up and down the grocery aisle.
Yeah.
Just back and forth as quickly as I can.
Yeah, medicine ball is the only prescription covered by my insurance. So that's as close as I can. No, actually, I had a high school biology teacher who was like hyper, super conservative Christian. And
wait a minute. How is that possible? And he's a biologist.
Great combo.
So she was telling our class that that men, like biologically, men have one fewer rib than women.
Oh, no.
Because, like, God took the rib. She's literally standing next to a human skeleton.
Yep.
Inaccurately built.
Yeah, like, all that was missing was, like another cartoon skeleton playing the xylophone.
Like, I can picture her glancing over at it and then awkwardly ripping off the rib and hiding in the plant.
Just chomping it as she spoke. But it taught me some valuable lessons about not listening to adults ever.
Yeah. I am amazed at adults that take any biblical references like literally. Mm-hmm. That is just wild to me. But, you know, like speaking about teachers and like things that they say, dude, this is the first time I ever had like an insight that came from a feeling that something was, I was like, oh my God, I knew something was not right. I was in the second grade. And a kid in the class, I went to St. Catherine's, a Catholic school. I don't remember what the question was, but the nun's answer was, oh, you're far too young to be questioning now. That's way too early. And I'm like, I didn't know this kind of terminology back then, but I'm like, oh, that's fucking bullshit. That's a bullshit answer. But like, I knew that was not right. And there was something in me. I was like, dude, she's shining us on. And yeah. That was the first time I ever had that like feeling that, and I was like, oh.
That was the birth of your entire personality.
That's definitely a person who gives it to you who will never know it. Yeah.
That was your parents being killed at the opera in Crime Alley.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to bring up the story all the time. We have to see it played out over and over again.
Just a reminder, in case you forgot my Genesis story.
Yeah. With fictional power comes fictional responsibility.
Super.
Guys, I mean, I already sat through Oppenheimer, and then I sat through Maestro. Are we really going to go see the Shawn Michael Boozer movie?
We all know the story.
I know, because that's the way the filmmaker said we could best see it. But
absolutely.
I'm so sick and tired of seeing that scene with the nun and the questioning. And it's like every single time they reboot this story, or they did the same thing on the series and on FX. It's like, can we get it, okay?
Okay, okay. But well, hold on. Just bear with me for a second. Have you ever seen it 80 feet tall, with sound mixed in such a way that you can't understand any of the lyrics that are being said because the music and the background sound effects are so heavy, and for some reason one of them has a Scottish accent.
In a world where man is so pedantic,
starting here we go.
No one can stand him.
Well, I mean, admittedly, it's accurate.
Hey,
yeah.
Shh.
Sorry.
A man so lost in his own head and how right he should be, that he tells everybody how wrong they are.
By the way, do you want any popcorn out of my Shawn Michael Boozer popcorn bucket?
I know I'm doing that thing later.
Who gets 10% of every popcorn with his face on it? Please buy some.
Come on, we all know this ends with him not paying for parking. We've all seen this story before.
Dude, sorry. Man,
spoilers.
So cheap. He will walk 3 blocks.
Welcome to the Beverly Connection. You have to pay $3.
Nah, fuck that. This is fucking bullshit, man. No, I don't know what... This is wrong. I'm not doing that.
I can't lift the gate without you paying $3 for park.
This is so inspiring. Don't you feel inspired right now?
Then I will sit here and protest. Beep, beep, beep.
He's my hero.
Beep, beep, beep,
I mean, I will admit that... The actor that they got to play him is doing an amazing job. But it still feels dirty since Shawn Michael Boozer, the actor, didn't want anything to do with this project after they refused to cast him as the actor Shawn Michael Boozer.
I'm walking out.
Okay. Well, fine, lady. Yeah.
Yeah, go. Go. More Bradley Cooper for us.
We have a 7-year-old at parking gate 7 who refuses to pay for parking. He's also driving a car for some reason.
Not gonna, can't make me.
Mr. Boozer, it really is an honor to have you in here. We're just really excited to have you on board in this project, the Sam Mickey Boozler story. In this scene, you're gonna be right here, and you're gonna have a librarian. And she's telling you about the Dewey Decimal System, and you're gonna be like, this doesn't make any sense. We don't even like use card catalogs anymore, and you're gonna get so mad, and we just like are gonna see your head just like swell, and then this bright light come in, and then it says Geico. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So let's get it going here. You got the sides?
I don't really read scripts or take notes or take second takes. So let's just see what we get, huh?
Okay. Great. Let's get it up.
Oh. Mrs. Librarian, this is fucking bullshit. You know what? This is fucking wrong. This is fucking bullshit.
All right, once again, a Geico commercial. But I like where you were going. I think we can use the visual of that. But if we could maybe have something that is not, let's say, 96% things that we can't use on television, that would be great. It's not you. It's just that BS from the FCC. Am I right?
Gotcha. So Geico's what we're looking at? Okay. All right. Hey, dumbass. Fucking cavemen didn't ride dinosaurs, you dumb fuck. They were fucking thousands, hundreds of thousands of years apart. Jesus. Don't take the fucking Bible so literal, idiot.
Okay.
Did that one work?
It's more topical than the last one, but...
Well, the caveman is what I was tying in with the Geico, the caveman. So, yeah, oh, so no, easy I'm, a dumbass caveman can do it. Remember that?
Yeah, is no, that, no, I'm just saying...
Am I working too high? Am I too highbrow for this? What's
going on? It's just that those commercials were on when I was in elementary school. So if we can just do one more read, right, and then we're good.
All right. We all know insurance is a scam, but I mean, if you want to buy it, go ahead, sucker. How's that one?
Cut. Print. That's Boom. What I'd be saying if we were filming right now. This is amazing.
I never
amazing.
Even explained the Dewey Decimal.
Legit. Legit.
That's great.
Speaking of advertisers, Michael Hyman, who's our advertiser for this week's episode?
Oh, if I just told you, then we wouldn't need to play the ad. So I'm just going to play the ad. They'll tell you.
Ooh.
Wow.
I like it.
Spicy co-hosting.
Here we go. Coming soon from Newman's Own, it's Orange Caesar. Now, this isn't actually a salad dressing. This is just Orange Caesar. This is our concept of a man playing Julius Caesar, but he's covered in orange peel. We're going to try and get our name out there any way we can. Listen, Paul Newman died a while ago. We have lost our way. Orange Caesar. Listen, there's 23 times many competing brands there used to be for this shit. We don't know. Do people eat salads anymore? Orange Caesar with anchovies. You're going to see Orange Caesar on the stub coming this fall. He's not running for president, but he's going to be at those rallies. Orange Caesar, skin made out of cutie skin. Like the little tangerines, they're color orange. Make sure you are paying attention to his commercials this fall while you're at home doing your Pirates. Mark your calendars, fall for Orange Caesar. And coming up next, Plato. It's spelled like the philosopher, but he's made out of the thing. You can eat it. It's actually okay.
I think like I'm safe in saying this is the best thing that Paul Newman has ever been involved with.
Yeah. Take that, the sting.
I also want to know about Pirates.
Yes.
Because is that like Pilates for pirates? I would want to try that.
Never
yeah.
know.
Yeah. And the cutie skin was meant in a non-sexual way, right?
Yes. You know, the little oranges. Okay. That was clear. Yeah, yeah. That was clear from the visual aspect of that ad, right?
It was.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately, we're the only ones who got to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, which is amazing for how high budget that commercial looked to be. Yep.
Oh, my God.
That
yes.
Was great.
Yeah.
Was that a Scorsese?
It was a Newman, actually.
A Scorsese.
Oh, wow.
Somehow.
Thanks, OpenAI.
let's hear some more influences here, people.
I have one, and when I saw this question, really thought about this, and this is the one thing that's really come to mind, and it's going to be a slight yarn, and maybe sad, I don't know. So, this person, I'm assuming I'm never going to get to meet them, but Stephen Colbert, and it's not because for the reason that you all expect, because we all love, like, I love Stephen Colbert as a performer. You know, really is an inspiration that I expect. But he also, it's very well known, he lost his father and brothers in a tragic accident. He's dealt with a lot of grief from a young age. Mm. And after my mom passed almost 15 years ago, maybe I should have gone to therapy. That maybe should have been one of the many times in my entire life that I went to therapy, but didn't. And so just sort of dealt with everything in my own way and all, like, you know, my mom dying, my dad still, like, needing assistance, her dick boyfriend still in my life, having to take care of her mom, all those things at the same time. And, like, over the years, and then after my grandmother died, still kind of navigating all this grief, morass. And the November 2012 issue of Playboy had an interview with Stephen Colbert, the, like, real in-depth interview. And in it, he talks a lot about grief and how he's dealt with it and how grief affects his life. And the fact that grief, and this is the thing that's really, like, I latched onto and has helped me so much. And even, like, has helped me to help friends that've dealt with grief. That, you know, he talks about it, like, grief is not something that you get over. It's not something that just goes away. It's not something that, like, oh, eventually you're going to be fine. and then you're good. You're healthy and happy and never going to be sad the rest of your life. Grief comes and goes. It grows. Sometimes it's really big and present. Sometimes it's not. And getting that viewpoint on it and being able to look at it that way and sort of like, you know, and you also did, and also that you have to deal with grief. You cannot ignore it. Again, things that probably would have learned in therapy from a therapist.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Stephen Colbert in Playboy told me how to deal with grief. And it had such a huge influence on my life as an adult and just how to, you know, get through life.
See, I love that because you demonstrated that you really did read it for the articles.
Yes. And that's the point of
Attaboy, this. Hyman.
Yeah.
And if you're going to learn a lesson, like it's like taking medicine, you can also take medicine, which would be the therapy version of it, or you could get it from one of the world's best comedians while there are naked ladies in a magazine, which is like having like your, you know, medicine in ice cream with a side of naked ladies in a magazine.
Breaking down walls in every possible way.
That's a great analogy.
I feel like Hugh Hefner is the real hero of this story.
I just think it's great that article reached you where you could be found. You were a guy who was like flipping through Playboy, and then you needed this message, and the universe was like, you know what? I know it's hard, but we got to figure out a way to get this in front of Michael Hyman's eyes.
And it was hard.
Yep. Good one.
I don't regret sharing this.
Super!
Look, little Petey, I know your mom's dead, but you're not going to therapy. You're going to sit there, you're going to eat your plate full of pickles, and I don't want to hear it that your mom died because of those pickles and it's the only thing we got to eat. I'm banking on that this is never going to backfire later on in life, that you didn't get to go to therapy because your mom died of eating pickles and now you have to eat those pickles and not deal with it. Shut your mouth. Scratch that, open it, put pickles in it, and then shut it. And I don't want to hear another word about your dead mommy.
I feel like this is going to be profoundly affect everything in my life from this point on. And I think the pickles will only exacerbate and compound the issue. Maybe if I don't have to go to a therapist, maybe we could just talk about it. So I've been really sad because my mom died.
I know. Because of eat the pickles.
Oh, so can we discuss it while I eat the pickles?
Sure.
So my mom, I'm very sad because my mom died, and it's like the basic relationship you have in your life that catapults you forward. But if I don't even have that, oh god, why aren't these bread and butter? Why are they dill? It's so sour. Can we?
It's all we got.
Oh. I just feel that, oh my god, there's something materializing in front of my eyes here.
I don't see anything.
It's okay.
Shit. Let me see that jar. I need to see the expiration on. Oh god.
You know what? I think I am going to be okay. I'm going to be okay.
All right. Great. See? Already. It's already paid off. No backfiring. Nothing weird is going to come of you solely eating pickles and not dealing with a traumatic event.
So, Dr. Therapist, I think, thank you for uncovering that.
Please, Dr.
Memory.
Therapist is my son's name. It's Mr. Dr. Therapist.
Mr. Dr. Therapist, thank you for recovering that, that memory for me. I really feel like that's where it all stemmed from, and I just want to thank my beautiful wife for being here with me and helping me through this.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I can't believe you didn't leave me. You could, had it been the other way around, I would have done exactly what you did too. Yes. So I just want to say I think we're good now. I've dealt with where it came from and why it came from, and the only thing I'd like to do is maybe take Pickle Pete out back and put him down for good.
Well, now, we haven't quite determined he's imaginary, but I'm gonna let this one slide.
When you say put me down, do you mean like one of those I don't need you anymore, so I drift off into ether? Why are you holding that tire iron?
Old Yeller was also very influential on me, and
very therapeutic.
Yeah, and so I feel like I have to do this to move on. You understand, right, Pickle Pete?
I got an area out back that's really reserved for this kind of closure. Oh, sorry. There's somebody right ahead of you. That's all right. No, that you're a man now, boy. You're a man now.
Wait a second.
Detective Fluff and Stuff, has the Emmy showed up yet to check out this dead imaginary friend? What could have happened? He's made of pickles.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, sir. I don't know where he went.
Hurry up. Get your tools out. I can't hold them on account of my banana fingers.
Oh, well, it's hard for me, too. It's hard for me, too, with your paws.
We'll try to do it together. Here.
Okay.
I think there's a stethoscope in there. I don't know. This is the only word. Oh, nope. That fell down.
Oh, it's in the gutter.
All that and more coming up on the next episode of The Imaginary Rememberer.
Legit.
Legit.
That's so good.
Oh,
that was
got
so
a, got a franchise,
you guys. That was beautiful.
Who went full Foley and brought in a dog for the old Yeller bit?
Well, you all said that you wanted Enzo to guest host, so... He delivers.
You never go full canine.
I mean, your dog has the best comedic timing of anyone on this Zoom.
Yeah, I doubted him, and it's shame on me.
I didn't necessarily have an answer prepared, but honestly, I think your dog is now the person who has influenced me the most, and will never know it.
I really think that this episode should be. Our special guest should be Enzo Brown.
I will
provide a picture, a headshot.
Yeah, please do. We'll
his credentials.
Yep. He doesn't contribute a lot in volume, but the quality of it.
That's the thing. You guys know I've always appreciated the performers who can just sit back and watch what's going on and only get involved when it's just right. And like that's it. And that's a rare skill.
Only one clutch 3-pointer to win the game.
I choose to believe Enzo was just chilling on his little pillow there, and then he heard the old Yeller reference, and his ears perked up. He's like, okay, I'm standing by.
Exactly actually what happened. Let's see if I could show you. It's great.
I'm glad that none of us had to make that sound, so none of us had to be accused of doing dog face.
Yeah. Yes.
Not okay.
That's... dressing up like a Marine? Is that what it is? Yeah. My 1940s slang is not what it used to be. Doughboys. They still go by Doughboys, right?
This is where we hear Compton's classic rendition of Over There.
It's on my parody album that I did with the Andrews Sisters. I tell you. They're going places.
No, you know, I guess for me that would be... Because like I had this like weird... like childhood like pop culture exposure, and that like my dad grew up in the 1940s and he like grew up listening to old 1940s radio shows and then like got like record albums of old 1940s radio shows that then me and my brother and sister listened to like all through that period before going to school and being exposed to the pop culture of other people. So kind of like showed up in kindergarten like, man, that Jack Benny sure is cheap, right, guys? But like so like most of my like comedic like my comedic persona is probably shaped by people who were long dead before I was born. Like, oh man, that Fred Allen, he's always one step ahead of you. So I guess you know, Fibber McGee or Molly. That's probably what I planned on.
Did you say Fibber McGee? Mm-hmm, is that real?
Yes.
It is. Fibber McGee and Molly was awesome. That closet, I'll tell you.
Yep. Oh, so much stuff in that closet.
That was just for us.
Yep. And I realized the way we're describing it does not make Jen Burton think it is any more real.
I'm just no. like, I yeah. feel like maybe I had this several like a strokes a few minutes ago. And
I just I'm not going to tell you about the great Gildersleeve.
Oh!
Because we'll also sound like I'm making it up.
It, the whole thing sounds
Can
like
you
you're
please?
Making it up. But wait, did Fibber McGee, was his bit, was he a liar? Was he a Fibber?
Yeah, I guess he was like a, like, not like a pathological liar. That would be like a really dark
no, like
term
a
for
Fibber.
It.
Like
but
like
yeah,
a
yeah, more like a tall tale teller.
Got it, okay. In an yeah. Irish accent because of the
yeah,
McGee?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, I have a picture now. I think it's real.
Yeah, just, and then pepper it with jokes from like 1940s elections.
They had a lot of, let me just say this before we move on. They had a lot of jokes at Hitler's expense. So
yes,
I love
yes.
that.
Super.
Jet, that was a movie. That gritty Fibber McGee reboot was so good. I mean, yes. that should win Best Picture.
It was so dark and literally too. I mean, I could barely make out anything on the screen.
I know there are people like walking into the theater, but I can't believe he kills Molly at the end. That was such a twist. Like, he opens the closet and is like, I'm sorry, this time it's got to be you. And just right, shoved her right. Oh, my God.
But in fairness, wasn't she killing him slowly the entire time?
Oh, my God. I see that now.
Right?
Oh.
Gentlemen. Yes. I see you just walking out of the Fibber McGee film. Hope you really enjoyed it. Listen.
Got our Fibber McGee popcorn buckets.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your patronage here at AMC. Listen, can you... Can I just scan your stubs real quick, my friends?
My stub?
Your stubs membership for AMC here.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Okay, yeah. Okay. I thought you meant the tickets themselves.
Yeah. Heartbreak really matters in a place like this.
Okay, you're both banned for life from AMC now.
What? Wait, what?
Whoa!
Literally every single movie you have attended through your stubs membership, we have received complaints about you talking through the entire film. From multiple, many other patrons.
Whoa!
I gotta say,
for being movie lovers.
I blame movie
ruiners.
I don't have to deal with this. You know, I'm taking my business to Alamo Drafthouse, where I can be appreciated.
That's right. That's right.
Go ahead. Enjoy the movie over all the sound of all that chewing.
You know what? You know what? I hope you and Nicole Kidman choke on a Birkenstock. All right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I overheard that. It's me, Nicole Kidman. Oh. I have a Stubbs membership, and I am very offended by what just occurred. Also, I was just in the Fibber McGee movie, and the two of you have destroyed it.
Oh
for
my
me.
God! That you played Molly. You were totally transformed.
That's right. Heidi ho!
Oh my god!
Here I
she
am!
She did her line! She did her iconic line for the trailer!
That's right. I'm gonna have to reenact this whole scene for the people whose movie you just destroyed.
AMC just had to pay Nicole Kidman $100,000 to be here personally to witness you two get banned for life. I hope you're happy.
Heartbreak doesn't feel good in a place like this.
Mr. Boozer, it really is an honor to have you here.
Thank you. I have changed my name to Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, we're just really excited to have you in reading sides for the Nicole Kidman story. So if we just have you, do you read the sides? Have you read the sides?
I don't read the sides. I get a general vibe of what's happening.
Great.
So I got that. Are we ready?
Yeah. Action, I would say, if we were filming. Okay.
Fuck you. This is bullshit, man. Mate. I put the last part in because she's...
That's almost perfect. Almost perfect. You are supposed to end with something asking people to go to the lobby to get popcorn. That's the one thing that's missing. But aside from that, let's go. But perfect. If you could swear a little bit more. And with a little bit more of, let's say, Australian accent.
Sure.
All right. And... Ready, set, go.
Oh, God damn it! Why are there so many fucking kangaroos in this fucking place? Ah! My baby was eaten by a dingo!
Cut!
Is that what we're looking for?
Probably one of our movies. All right, let's go.
Can I just excuse for just a moment, Mr. Boozer? It's me, Nicole Kidman.
Yeah,
I just want to
Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, please.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gildersleeve. That was the most incredible Australian accent I have ever heard.
Your face does not move at all. This is disturbing.
I have a face under this face.
Oh.
That's my real face, but this face just lays over it like a Vanilla Sky situation. Anyway, that was just beautiful. I just wanted to say, and I look forward to seeing that on the big screen.
Oh, this is going to be on the big screen?
Yes, the one in my living room.
Oh, I thought what on your plastic.
We do these just for Nicole Kidman's house.
That's right. I like to have trailers just running in the background of my home. Any rate, I don't have my schedule is very free right now. You guys aren't doing anything. And
I am just
hang out.
I am just honored, and just know that I've studied you religiously, not like in a Scientology sort of religiously way, but like just in a more like just very focused and on it. And so I'm glad all that came through when you saw the performance of me
The first thing that came into my head when you were swearing was when you said the word dingo, I was taken back to my childhood Australian home. Just the word dingo. It is an Australian word. That's my point. Anyway, I've lost my Australian accent, so I don't even really hear it. I assume you were doing an excellent one, though.
Oh, yeah. It was, for my money, it was dead on. I sound, it was kind of like a cross between the guy from the 80s.
Repo Williams?
yes, it was a cross between Repo Williams and
Molly Ringwald.
Yes, Molly Ringwald. That's exactly that's the sweet spot of what I find the Australian accent to be at its core.
Well, I think you're wonderful, and I'd like you to look, I've interrupted this entire shoot. Mostly I just wanted to give you accolades and invite you to my home. To meet my child, my imaginary friend.
Oh, is his name Crocodile Dundee?
Yes.
That's not an imaginary friend. This is an imaginary friend.
Legit.
So everyone that's listening knows Chris Sanders was holding an alligator.
Yes,
so people know.
As they famously did in that movie, Alligator Dundee.
Yes.
Exactly. Well,
he couldn't get hold of a crocodile on such short notice. You can really tell.
Right.
That it's an alligator. American it's got this shorter nose. The teeth are inside of the mouth. The
That's the name of the episode.
Yeah. Alligator
they figured, Dundee. Who's going to know?
Steven, are you a teacher? How do you know all this about alligators and crocodiles?
It's not because I'm a teacher. It's because I'm a know-it-all douchebag. That's what
okay. Listen, I can tell you the difference. I can tell you the difference. It's really Please. Easy between an alligator and a crocodile.
No.
Yeah, don't, I want to hear it. Yep.
No.
It's whether or not you see it later or after a while.
God, did you read that in Playboy magazine from 2000?
Legit.
Stephen Colbert wrote that one, actually.
And on jokes out of Playboy magazine, that brings our episode of the Super Legit Podcast to a close. Michael Hyman, say the things you say.
Thank you, as always, to Matt Walker for intro and outro music. This episode was hosted by Jet Kaufman, edited by Jet Kaufman and Chris Sanders, and co-hosted by me, Michael Hyman. Every scene you heard today was improvised on the spot, along with some of the ads, with only a light touch of editing for your comfort. If you're loving what we're doing, pause real quick, write a 5-star review before you close the app, and tell your friends about us. Tonight's regular cast includes Josh Spence, Jen Burton, Chris Compton, Sean Michael Boozer, Alex Rose Wiesel Brown, Stephen C. James, and Chris Sanders. No guests, that's it. Bye!
Wait, does the dog want to plug anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Enzo Brown will be turning 2 years old this year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he no longer digs in the trash can.
Oh, it's good.
They grow up so fast.
Yeah, when I was a teenager, I stopped digging the trash can, too.
Oh, so he's not on Instagram. Okay.
No. Too young.
All right, that's it for this one. Love you guys, and I'll see you all in the next episode. I don't believe anything's on. Oh, my time. I kicked the door. Just so I could move on. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh.
Hey, Jen, I'm going to go pee. Is that cool?
No.
No, actually, we have to
your own home.
Wait until... you can't pee until the recordings have uploaded.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
true. You have to. That's them's the rules.